Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat Podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Diener Jr., invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast, and we are live at 50 West Brewing Company. How's everybody doing out here tonight?
Yeah, thanks for coming out.
How about this? Our first ever live BBP.
Yeah.
It's kind of special.
It is.
We do Beyond the Stripes, but that's like, it's got a whole lot of structure, you know?
Yeah.
There's like Bengal guests, so it makes it legit.
Yeah. I have to wear a collared shirt.
You do have to wear a collared shirt with the name of the show on it.
Yeah.
I used to have to wear a collared shirt with Doc's name on it, which really was hard to do. It's the throwback. Now we have, they took Doc's name off the shirt. It wasn't good. Doc's here tonight in his purple. Good to see you.
Doc's here. Optimistic Bobby is here.
Optimistic Bobby is here. So we should explain right now, if you're listening, what the role is. Optimistic Bobby, we are going to probably get a little negative at some points. So you have a microphone just to pop in with your own optimism whenever it's necessary, whenever you deem it necessary.
I'm ready.
You're ready. Okay, we'll get ready. It's probably coming.
This is a big week for us.
This is an understatement.
This is the moment we've been waiting for.
This is definitely a moment. I don't know if people have been waiting for it, but it's definitely a moment.
Optimistic Lindsay Patterson is here.
Optimistic Lindsay? Where is Optimistic Lindsay? She brought her friends. I don't know if her friends get free beer, too, wherever they go, but that's like the thing that happens to Lindsay everywhere she goes. She just acquires free beer. It's kind of a nice trait to have. Why are you leaving your friends? That seems kind of... I don't know what that means, Lindsay. Let's go into the BBP a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about this game. I'll start this. I mean, how realistic, in your mind, is a win? I mean,
well it's very realistic.
Is it?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you guys all have listened to the BBP before, I'm not a fan of this division. I'm not a huge fan of really too many. Even New England and a team like Pittsburgh, who are 9-2, and they are what they are. But I don't. I've watched the Steelers enough to not be, you know, amazed or think that they're unbeatable or that they're some kind of powerhouse. I mean, they're definitely a flawed team.
Yeah.
And I saw enough from the Bengals the first time they played and since to think that, yeah, for sure, the Bengals can win.
That is the one thing going on here, isn't it? It's that the Steelers, despite winning, I mean, to knock a team's six-game winning streak is sort of hard to do.
Yeah.
But the Steelers...
It hasn't been great.
They've had to sneak a few. I mean, when you're sneaking one out against Brett Hundley... Or, you know, when you're doing
Jim Caldwell gifted them a victory in Detroit.
Yeah, you know, Matt Stafford throws for 423 yards. And they kick 5 field goals. I just, you know, I don't think Pittsburgh is the juggernaut that maybe Mike Tomlin thinks they are, as he's already calling himself out to be in the AFC title game. But the problem with that is there are a lot of numbers. Bobby, you might want to get the mic ready. There are a lot of numbers that trend in the wrong direction.
Yes.
You know, I don't like to bring up the primetime narrative. I really don't.
It's true, though.
But it's the Steelers have won 10 straight games in the regular season and playoffs in primetime. They thrive there.
Yeah.
You know what the Bengals do in primetime?
They lose.
They lose a lot. They're 2-8. Their only two wins were against the Browns. Does that even count? Do we count them as the league anymore?
Well, Miami's in there.
And Miami. The game where Miami had, like, one healthy lineman who's – I mean, it was –
Geno Atkins sacked the quarterback with the guard in that game because that dude was so washed up.
Yeah.
Those are their two wins, 2-8 in prime time. And so that's not the only number.
No. I think five in a row.
8 of 9 in the series.
13 of 16.
13 of 16.
And 14 losses at home since 03.
Marvin Lewis is 2-14 against the Steelers at home.
Yeah, that defies all NFL logic, especially when you consider there's 7 playoff teams in there.
I mean, think about this for 1 second. It'd be one thing if you told me the Browns were 2-14 against the Steelers. Right? They suck all the time, right? They're bad everywhere. The Bengals and Steelers have been the two teams at the top of this division for the most part. Obviously, the Ravens are in there, but they've had a lot of battles to decide this division over the years. They have been quality teams. And for one team to be 14-2 against you is almost impossible. In your house.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible. So there's no – I mean, and while those games don't necessarily affect this one, I mean, doesn't – That's not nothing. I mean, that means something.
Right. Especially when the guys you're looking to kind of step up Sunday are big parts of that.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, namely the quarterback. Andy Dalton, this is going to be his 14th start against the Steelers, and he's 3-10.
Yeah.
I mean, like a 70 rating and 13 picks. I mean, it's just – it's. I mean, he doesn't really play great against Baltimore either, but it's really bad against Pittsburgh.
Bobby, you need to stop this. This is really...
I'm listening. I just wanted to keep going. I wanted to keep
going. You want to go
further?
Because
the odds just seem like it's kind of weird how... Or the figure is just kind of strange almost.
Right.
Do you feel like
you're
due?
How much it's in their favor, right? Like,
maybe you're due.
You're due.
Yeah.
It's like if you kept rolling dice and it just kept landing one way, eventually it's got to land your way, right?
Not necessarily.
We might be due.
Casinos are very high in Vegas. Like, those hotels go... They're very expensive. They win a lot. Like, the odds don't have
it's
to
a
turn
different,
in your favor.
It's just a weird year. If there was ever going to be a year that something like this would happen, it's this year. It just feels different.
Yeah.
I can roll with that. I mean, but you know, I wouldn't be, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised. Look, I picked the Bengals to win up in Heinz Field. So I thought they would split the season series, so why not?
They made you look bad.
Yeah, they did. But why not happen Sunday? But I think it's more than just, you know, look, we can run through all these papers. I'm going to agree with Bobby. If they're going to win, it's got to be something
weird.
Or I guess, you know, what Paul wrote earlier at Cincinnati.com would be like sort of a moment, like a Dre Kirkpatrick pick six or William Jackson pick six or a Joe Mixon break some tackles in a run, like kind of that special play. Frankly, we haven't really seen a whole lot of this year, but it's going to be something like that.
We saw the 70-yard pass in Tennessee, which was like one of those. It's like, wow. You were shocked when you saw it, right? Like, whoa, we haven't seen a lot of those out of these guys.
Right.
And the Steelers just have a way of taking it away from them where they don't get a lot of those, and that's a big reason for 14.
A.J. Green's been a non-factor in about three years.
Not since they reformed their secondary. I mean, when they had Ike Taylor running around with like, you know, one bad leg in his mid-30s, he went for 200 some, and he was tearing them up. To me, because now that is the one thing I will say. I'll give you some optimism here. The last 3 weeks, their secondary has been pretty bad. They have given up a lot of long passes. They have. I mean, I was running through watching all of them, and it's not just one person. Everybody's been getting beat deep. They've had miscommunications. Joe Hayden has been out. They have given up 6 touchdown passes in the last 3 weeks. All of them have been of 30 yards or more. Their teams are beating them over the top. They're getting beat on double moves. And that's one thing that we have seen the Bengals do better in recent weeks is they have hit a few of those.
Right.
To me, that's what it is. To me, it's 2 of those and some great defense that gets a couple of turnovers off Big Ben, and that's your recipe.
Yeah. Yeah, which is true. I mean, so yes, they can win. I don't think they will. I've seen too much, I guess, for me to actually pick it the other way. But what's interesting, Paul, about this too is just you mentioned it earlier with Mike Tomlin looking ahead to New England. That's kind of where we're at, right? I mean, if you're a Bengals fan, what is Sunday? right? You're kind of looking for something, right? You're looking for this team to do something special and sort of get you back into this.
Yeah.
I mean, Doc wrote it this week where he said basically the Steelers are like, when they're going to the real fight, they like punch the Bengals in the shoulder on the way to it.
Yeah, you're right.
Just because they can. I mean, the coach.
The shoulder? That's not where I think they're punching them.
Well, but you know, the coach doesn't even think about it.
Yeah.
The players make fun of every – I mean, they talk trash. They make fun of Joe Mixon. They make fun of A.J. Green.
Yeah.
The Bengals are a joke.
They have gone at them before, but they have never made fun of them right. Like they have. I mean, it's like you're a joke to us.
And if you're a head coach in the NFL basically saying, I can't wait for New England in 2 weeks and then New England again in an AFC title game, you're making fun of the team you're about to play.
Yeah, so Mike Tomlin not a fan of me asking about that.
No,
he
was
called this week.
How dare you?
Yeah, I mean the first question was he actually took it in stride and was fine with it, but he said I don't want to talk about silliness. There's too much credibility in this game, even though his players are the ones doing the silliness.
Right.
And we came back a second time to ask him about Vontaze Burfict's off the field stuff to his team.
He
got mad at me.
Yeah.
He got mad at me. He didn't like that. Then he hung up.
He did.
It, like, clicked
It was
hard.
Like an old-school hang-up.
Yeah.
You don't get those anymore. Like,
no.
The landline click. He slammed it
on
down.
On the conference calls, normally the PR guy comes back on the phone afterwards and says, thanks, guys. No, it just went clank. That was it.
Yeah.
End of conference call. We're done with this. Right. But that's why that's sort of the same way.
Yeah.
It's kind of hung
it's
up
different.
On the Bengals.
This is different. Think about what they did there. Completely overlooked the Bengals, talked about the next team they're going to play. They've been taunting us all year. It's just a little bit different than what we've seen in the past.
You know, and you know about that is the Steelers have a habit traditionally of overlooking teams, playing down to teams that they believe that they're better than. They're odd that way. They beat the best teams that they play, but yet you will see them lay duds and nearly lose to Indy. This has happened to them for years. If they're viewing the Bengals as a walkover, I do think that clearly plays into this team's hands.
Yeah.
What division rival just – I mean, even when we play the Browns, you don't see Marvin out there talking about the game the next week.
No.
They blatantly
Bengals,
made that statement. Yeah.
The Bengals beat – who they're supposed to beat on a regular basis. They just don't beat anybody good.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I hate to say it.
Anybody good, let's hear it. But no,
I mean, I'm fine here. I'm not here to kill your optimism.
Hey, it's
but I mean,
okay. It's okay. You know. This is going to be the special. This is the special game.
This is the special
this
game.
It's the game.
It's special.
How lucky are we to be sitting here this time of year watching this game that's about to take place with the idea that if we win this...
Are you saying how great is it to be relevant on December 1st? I mean...
You grew up in Cincinnati.
It's still November,
Bobby. You
should be relevant in November.
Do you remember the
90s? Everyone's
do you
five,
remember,
and five
do you,
and six.
Do you remember the 90s? Where the
that
season
work.
Was
no,
over before
no,
you
don't
got...
go there. You can't go there. You can't go there with, do you remember the 90s? This is not the 90s anymore. This is a better team... and better constructed than the 90s. And you can't use that as the baseline. That's being like, look, the Browns are bad. We're so much better than them. That doesn't mean – that's not what people are striving for, to be better than the Browns or better than the Bengals in the 90s, which were, before these Browns, the worst decade in professional sports history. At a certain point, the bar needs to be higher than that, right?
That's what's about to happen on Sunday.
Then don't tell me remember the 90s.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Again, going back to where we started with this, I mean, it's definitely possible. It's needed. I mean, George Iloka wasn't about to say it's must win because they're not eliminated by any means. But with Minnesota in 2 weeks on the road, you kind of have to win these three home games in a row.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the path is there. The bottom line is they need to get their AFC – their AFC situation in good health. Because if you do that, then when you're at 8-8 or whatever, if they beat the Steelers and the Ravens, suddenly they'll have the best AFC record probably of the Craptastic Eight, as we're calling them now.
Yeah.
Whatever this group of bad teams in the middle is. I mean, if you can get your AFC record in order, they win those two games and you – I mean – this is, to me, this is the turning point. I was talking to Tyler Boyd, which I don't often do.
Yeah.
But I was talking to him today, and he sort of said, in the scope of the season, he was just talking about the season. He said, it's life or death. He said, it feels like it will breathe life into us or it will end us. Yeah. That's how this feels. And I think they haven't necessarily backed away from that this week, the right. idea that this game is huge right. because of how much they've screwed up this season to right. this point.
Do you think, you know, we have Bengals fans here, so I'll kind of read your faces a little bit. But, I mean, we mentioned that how the Steelers sort of pick on the Bengals a little bit. But they're not afraid to say it's a big game.
No.
And I think that's part of what we hear sometimes. Some frustration is the standard, this is just another week. This is just another game. And that seems to drive people crazy a little bit. I think fans want to hear Marvin and the players say, this matters. We want to beat the Steelers because it's them. I mean, not because it means something in the scheme of 16.
An Ohio State person can tell me this better because I'm not super. Didn't Urban Meyer show up and say, we have to beat Michigan?
It was coach before then. That was it. It was
John
Trestle.
Cooper?
No, it was Trestle. And now every coach does it. And whether they know it's like right. you walk in, you say you're going to beat the rival.
Sometimes you have to embrace that.
I agree with that.
Sometimes you have to embrace the fact that these guys stand in our way all the time. We're not going to be little brother anymore.
Right.
And we're going to embrace this game and take it on. Now, maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know.
I asked Vinny Ray that question. I said, Vinny, you guys come into this and you tell us every week or every day this week, it's the same. We have to do it the same. We have to treat it the same. I was like, but you lose. So how do you treat it the same but not get the same result? And he kind of laughed because he didn't have an answer for that.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to say? I mean, it's just, you know, I guess you want them to not, like, fake it.
Yeah.
I mean, if this is who they are, then that's who they are. But
they've come in hyped. They've come in low-key. They've tried to play middle of the road. They've talked trash. They haven't talked trash. They fought at midfield. They've tried every yeah. way to come into this game and always end up losing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Always end up losing. Yay! I know we can get you to clap somehow. I mean, I don't think it matters. To me, it always comes back to you got to be better.
Right.
You got to have the talent. You got to have the ability to stand up in those situations. And I honestly think that's always been the case. I want to, if anybody has any questions, I do want to open it up for opportunity for you guys. If you have a question that you'd like to ask, just holler. Bobby, you can work the mic if you want. Or you can just ask us, because you always ask us a question every week. So I can give you a chance to kick it off. If anybody does anybody have a question that they wanna fire? If you do, just raise your hand and we'll put you in.
Question. We got one back here.
Back
here
there. Bobby, work the room a little bit. Work the room. I know you can do this. So we've got a question coming from the back, and we'll do what we can do.
Are we ever gonna have the great debate between Hot Take James and Jim?
Oh, this is a good point. Thank you. Thank you for a great question.
Loyal listener.
That is a loyal
listener.
It will
happen. We were thrown off this summer.
Yeah.
For great reasons. You had to like dad and stuff.
I know. I had to become a dad.
Yeah. So that kind of
screwed up our whole schedule.
It did. We will have that great debate. I see James in the locker room all the time.
Yeah.
And I do kind of sweep his leg.
Well, don't we need to do it before AJ McCarron leaves?
Or is yeah. He's not really AJ McCarron guy.
James isn't? Isn't that
no,
what
he,
this is
No,
about?
He just wants anyone other than Andy Dalton guy.
Right.
Yeah. So no, we'll
that does need happen. That does need to happen.
You know what? Especially because James is going to be on the draft Lamar Jackson train.
James is going to be on a lot of bad trains.
Yeah, that'll happen.
His train has a way of derailing. You're right. We did drop it. Never ended up happening. No, but we don't. It has not been forgotten. No. That's a great question because it needs to happen. James was wearing the Dr. Scholl's orthopedic Jordans in the locker room the other day. Those were the worst looking shoes I've ever seen. He tweeted at me about them. I couldn't help but respond. They're awful. If you can go and look at James Rapine's Twitter, go and make fun of his shoes. They're terrible. They're terrible. Does anybody else have any questions or anybody else want to ask anything? Bobby, what do you got? You are supposed to give us a question
every week.
So you're supposed to come prepared.
I'm excited to come Monday. We're going to be sitting here. There's nothing better than coming to work on a Monday. after a big Bengals win?
Well, Tuesday.
Tuesday would be the day. Tuesday.
Monday, you're going to be
Monday,
dreading,
we're gonna be feeling,
dreading
no, Monday's
Monday
gonna
night.
Be good. Monday's going to be good.
Let me, for you guys as fans, I'm curious. I heard this topic I wrote about the Bengals and the toxic sort of relationship with their fans right now. I'm curious. Clap for me a little bit. Would you rather see the Bengals win a playoff game, make a run and win a playoff game this year, but then get their butts kicked in the divisional round? Or lose and end up with Marvin fired? I'll start with the playoff win. Who wants a playoff win this year? Who'd like to see? Who would rather, for the greater good, see them lose and Marvin not return? Anybody?
Because you know what? Hope is not a plan.
Hope is not a plan. Not.
We've seen that sign.
Bengal boy.
We got a question. We got a question back
yes.
here. People are getting fired up.
Another question. This is getting people lit up. I like it. We're mixing it up now. Let's hear it.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. This is going to be pretty directed. I've had season tickets since 1993. That's a lot of tickets.
Yeah,
that's a lot of bad years.
Yeah. No playoffs.
So what I'm going to say is that I've always been pretty positive, almost on the optimistic take like Bobby has been. But I've seen a lot of bad football and been more disappointed probably in the last 2 years than ever. And I would tell you that I've never thought about getting rid of my tickets. But I was listening to your podcast on Monday, and I'm looking at the 15,000 seats that aren't in the stadium. And I think there's that I'm with most of the Bengals fan base that if Marvin isn't gone and we go like 7-9, then they're going to lose a lot of fans and they're going to lose a lot of money due to these season tickets. Yeah. I've never thought about getting rid of mine, but if Marvin's back after 7-9, I'm not coming back after, what is that, 25 years of tickets?
Yeah.
And I have four of them.
Yeah.
All right?
You're not alone, and thank you for that point. Because I a small story. My parents actually have had season tickets since they opened the stadium. My mom showed up on Monday to babysit my daughter, and she goes, "We're not going to get our tickets again if Marvin comes back." And I said, "Man, if you have lost my parents and my mother, you know things are in a bad way." But you're not alone. We hear this all the time, which is why we talked about it on Monday and why we've been writing about it. While you hear, like, angry fan a lot, I mean, especially on Twitter, but, I mean, in every market has that. This is different. This has been different. I hear more people like you that are loyal fans that have been season ticket holders for a long time that have sort of had enough because of this. It feels over. It feels too stale to be salvaged at this point unless something miraculous happens in the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, to your point there, I don't think we're not breaking any news here, but I mean, look, Marvin, no coach is under contract for next year. 7-9 and another playoff loss or a non-playoff season with your core hitting 30. I don't think Marvin's back.
After,
you know what I mean? I really don't. I mean, it would have to be the tremendous run, and when I say tremendous, it really would be. I mean, 0-3 to 8-8 or 9-7 is really bucking the NFL odds.
Absolutely.
I think like 10% of teams ever do that. And then, you know, I'm a player guy when it comes to the playoffs. I think players should, you know, win a game. I don't really put that on coaches necessarily in that one moment, but I don't think if it's 7-9 or 6-10, we're doing this again with the head coach.
To me, the only question, I think it's fairly definitive. I mean, if they make the playoffs, he's back, and I think the 8-8 lose out on tiebreakers, but maybe they beat Pittsburgh but lost to Baltimore or something silly happened. That's where to me it gets iffy. I think Marvin has left this open. Since the whole rumor of Hugh Jackson being coach in waiting came up, we've talked about this on the BBP. That 2018 was set as the year that Hugh would take over.
It was, yeah.
Right? I mean, and every side has admitted to that now.
Yeah.
I don't think that's not a coincidence, and it's not a coincidence that along with that, Marvin chose not to seek out a contract. because that's a two-way street. I think Mike pushed to not have a contract, but I think Marvin pushed to not have a contract. I think both want options and both see this as right. maybe a chance to move on. So I think that's part of it. We have more questions. I like it.
I agree with you guys. I'm all in favor of a change at the head coaching position, but that's Mike Brown's decision. We all know that. And
yeah.
Mike runs the show, and he always says. My question relates to John Ross a little bit. They cut that kicker from Memphis in the fifth round, and it's about whiffs in the draft the last couple yes. years. It seems like the Bengals have always required, I don't know if they're doing it anymore, but they've always required their assistant coaches to be part of their draft team instead of hiring scouts. Saves money, right? Old Mike saving money again. Instead of doing what other teams would do, get a big scouting system going, find the nuggets, but no, not Mike, right? Okay, so anyway, the last couple of years, Zimmer's been gone and Gruden's been gone, and they've whiffed on the draft, in my personal opinion, pretty badly. And I wonder if you guys could address whether you feel like the loss of Zimmer and Gruden, who are doing quite well, let's be honest, their records are better than the Bengals right now at Washington and Minnesota, if they had a lot to do maybe with all those great drafts they had for about four straight years, or if you have maybe no opinion about it, or if you might want to comment on that one way or the other.
No, that's a really good question. I think Zimmer and Gruden, Doc, you've written about this a lot. Marvin is at his best with strong coordinators, and Zimmer and Gruden were that. Because Marvin's great at getting guys to work hard every day. But I think the other stuff, he needs lieutenants. Yeah. He needs guys to push. And clearly Zimmer and Gruden are great coaches. They're proving that, especially Zimmer this year with Case Keenum. Goodness. But as far as I don't know how much say they had in the scouting department. Now, I think we've been open about this, and I don't think there's any denying the fact that they so badly whiffed from 13 to 15 in the yeah. draft is the reason they're not good right now. This league is based on your rookie year contract guys that are in year three and four right. of those contracts. That's what this league is right now because of the way the CBA is set up. But I do think that – I don't think that those coaches had a lot to do with those great drafts. I do think that the Bengals are more on the right side of the way it should be than, say, the Browns are. So the Browns and they're a bad example because they obviously have drafted poorly. But, you know, to have a million scouts in this day and age with tape as much out there, ability to watch every game and even every practice, it's all out there. You don't need a huge staff. Duke Tobin, I did a couple of big stories on Duke, and he said, I don't need more voices in the room. I just need the right voices. And I think Duke has proven a track record. He's kind of legitimized this franchise. I hold him almost solely, along with Zimmer and Gruden, responsible for that playoff run. He drafted so well. So I'll give him a couple bad drafts. And I also think the last two look like the type of drafts that open up a new playoff window. I think 16 and 17 have been great drafts, this year in particular. So I give them credit. It's not a huge staff, but I think they do that on purpose, and I don't think it's to save money. I honestly think they believe that's the best way to do it, and I think Duke does. I could see him add some player personnel people and pro personnel people to help, but for the most part, I don't credit Zimmer and Gruden as being – having a huge role in those drafts being so good.
Well, I mean, I'll disagree with you a little bit. I mean, Paul Alexander definitely has a lot to say with how bad this offensive line
yes.
crop has been.
Yeah.
I mean, those are his guys that are failing.
Right.
And so the position coaches maybe could now Jay was instrumental in Andy Dalton. I mean, that was an Andy, you know.
He had to sell the room on Andy Dalton.
Which out of that available list of quarterbacks, outside of Cam Newton, Andy's probably the best in 11.
And they had Cam Newton number one in that draft.
So, and no option to take him. So, yeah. I will say that maybe either if they go forward to our other listener's point of change in staff, if Paul A. is back, fine, but then maybe he doesn't have as much of a scouting say.
One thing is, I don't know how much people know, they have drifted a little further away from coaching input in recent years, and perhaps that was a result of what happened in 2015.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had this argument before. Is that the worst draft in Bengals history? It's certainly close. The worst in the Marvin era, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's I mean, and to go, the guys that were out there, there were plenty of great talents out there. Right. I could not have stomped harder. How they didn't draft a receiver,
right,
knowing what was going to be happening. But yeah, since then, I think they have taken the coaches a little further out. They still have input. I think that's still going to be part. I still think they should. If you're going to draft a guy and give him to a coach, that coach should have some say. Now, scouts still need to be scouts and be better at seeing talent than coaches are. However, I do think they have backed a little bit away from what that was. I think mostly because of what happened in 15. And maybe that shows in what's happened in the last two drafts a little more. I'm a Duke Tobin guy.
He's done enough.
I think he's done enough and proven himself as the key to this franchise. And anything you can do to put more power in his hands, I think makes them better.
You got a question? Have you guys heard anything about the Marvin Lewis Foundation being dissolved or unwound?
I know that when it comes to, not in terms of being dissolved, not yet. I know they're still running events currently during the season, but I do know that, I mean, some people have emailed to say, hey, Marvin didn't auction off his usual golf outing and his usual force, which makes sense. He's not under contract. I know just even dealing with players going into this year who, like for instance, Michael Johnson wasn't about to set up events through this season until he made the 53. So, to that extent, I don't know, but I do know it would make sense that he wouldn't book anything for 18.
Yeah. They're not fundraising anymore. Yeah, I mean, I have not heard a ton about that, but I think there's uncertainty on both sides, and I don't. Right. I'm sure he wants to get this season over with, get whatever's going to happen that first week in January over with, and then go forward with whatever that means. If that means kicking up the foundation again, then that's what that means. But I think it would – I personally think the foundation should stay in place. We've talked about this before. It may be his legacy here.
Yeah.
Reviving the team from the 90s and that foundation. That foundation has done a ton of good. Learning is Cool has been a massive success. They've sent so many kids to college.
He should get a hand for that.
I mean, every coach we talk to that has worked here says they use his foundation as their template everywhere they've been. All five coaches have said that. He does a great job, and it may end up being, honestly, the best thing that he's done in the city outside of pulling them out of the 90s. But that's a good question. I have not heard a ton about that. I do think it's just a get the season over with and then figure everything out after that. Any more questions? Bengal boy.
Hey, Paul and Jim, first of all, been reading the Enquirer for over 40 years. I got to tell you guys are the very best the Enquirer's ever had in the sports section. So give it up for Paul and Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Marvin loses that subject matter. I mean, Lewis, sorry.
Yeah, nice.
No, what he's done in the community has been awesome. I don't think we should belittle him for the great things he's done. He turned a 4-12 culture into an 8-8 culture. That in itself, pretty overwhelmingly great achievement compared to the way things were in the last decade. About 2010, in my opinion, he'd reached his ceiling. And it's very disappointing to see Mike Zimmer leave the team. In my opinion, Mike Zimmer should have been our head coach in 2011. We would have won at least one playoff game since then. I felt the same way about the departure of Jay Gruden, Hugh Jackson, even Vance Joseph. Those guys, to see them walk out, very, very discouraging. So Marvin, also, let's not forget, he brought Vontaze Burfict to the team single-handedly, a tremendous asset, one of the best players we've ever had on the team. If he were a Steeler or a Raven, they'd erect a statue in his honor and he'd be a Hall of Famer without question. I could go on forever. On the Marvin front, it's a perfect year for Mike, with it being a contract year, to allow Marvin the respect he deserves to leave by simply not renewing the contract. It's not a firing. It's a respectful departure. It's a parting of ways that's well overdue. He reached his ceiling a long time ago. We need to start winning playoff games I want to win a Super Bowl before I'm 6 feet under. That's my goal in life, actually. Sorry about that. That's what I really want to see. And in my opinion, it ain't happening with Marvin. Now, Andy, real quick on Andy. I personally don't believe we can win a Super Bowl with Andy. I'd like to be proven wrong. I was once proven wrong when I thought that the Ravens would never win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. He went on to be Super Bowl MVP. So again, you know, I could be wrong. I hope I am. And I love Andy. Heck, I like Marvin a lot. Bottom line, though, if you're a Bengals fan, as I am, I'm as passionate as any Bengals fan. I know. It's just long overdue. It's typical Mike. You know, he has a hard time. I think he's had a hard time since his dad left the Cleveland Browns, seeing anybody leave the organization in the same fashion. And you know what? I empathize with it. I sympathize with it. And I love Mike. I mean, as a human being, Marvin, too, as a human being, Andy, as a human, awesome. But you know what? As a Bengals fan, I want to win the Super Bowl, and it's well past time to move on. Hootay. Yeah,
that was a good speech.
I loved it.
That was real good.
That was a good speech.
Right. Two things real quick. I think 15 would have been the zenith. I think 15 was, if Andy
was
doesn't break us,
that was the team.
But I get your point. I mean, it's 15 years and no playoff wins. And you're right. There is a heavy respect for Marvin in that building. So the firing in season, you know, last year, this year, was never going to happen. It was going to be one of these situations in January, if this occurs, of, okay.
A parting of ways.
A mutual parting of ways.
And that's how they'll term it.
I thought we were positioned in 2006 to win the ball.
06, yeah.
Right, which is,
right, no doubt, the 05 team.
Yeah.
I think underrated into one part of what you were saying, I thought when Zimmer and Gruden were both clearly about to move on after the 13 playoff loss to the Chargers, to me that was one of the most disappointing losses in Bengals history because that team was good. That team hadn't lost a home all year, and they had beaten the Chargers in San Diego a few weeks earlier by running it down their throat, and Zimmer and Gruden were both up for jobs, and to have another playoff loss, which is had now become sort of Marvin's bugaboo, so to speak. Yeah. I thought that was maybe the year that if you were going to be aggressive and pull the trigger and understand a big reason for why they were there to make a move towards Zimmer or towards Gruden, that would have maybe have been the year that I would have been more inclined, more so than 15.
Right.
Obviously 10 was a mess. But, you know, I to me that's where it would be. As far as Andy, I've written about this before. I wrote about this last year when I was at the Super Bowl watching the Falcons and Matt Ryan. I feel like Matt Ryan was Andy Dalton in 15 and Matt Ryan in 16 were very much the same guy. Great supporting cast. A guy who has sort of been middle of the road before, lifted up by a great supporting cast and having an unbelievable year in the MVP conversation, obviously all year, except Matt Ryan goes on and is exalted for it. And Andy Dalton breaks his thumb.
Oh, right.
We don't know. I mean, maybe the Bengals lose in the playoffs in 15.
Yeah.
But I do think with the right players around him, you can win a Super Bowl. Everyone says, well, you need a guy that can lift everyone else. There's four of those. There's not many. I mean, this league is full of bad quarterback play.
Right.
Take a peek on Red Zone this weekend to see who's playing. Unless you have a better answer, and maybe there will be. This is going to be a QB-heavy draft. Maybe a new coach is in here, and maybe you're talking about, okay, it's time to move on. Maybe the new guy can make that call.
If James Rapine was here, he'd say you draft every first-round quarterback for the last 6 years.
Obviously, let them all
that's
battle
how it works
out like a Royal Rumble. Whoever goes over the top rope.
But that's the thing. I mean, you know, Matthew Stafford is a richer and worse Andy Dalton. I mean, it's just Matt Ryan was a richer and, like, about the same Andy Dalton up until last year. So, I mean, look, I actually just got off the phone. Matt Hasselbeck, he's going to be in town for ESPN, and he's like, I'm watching the tape, and since week two with the change, Andy's kind of back to being Andy. And what that means is he basically said there's like 20 teams that would want Andy Dalton. So
yeah.
I think Andy actually is what makes Cincinnati an attractive job for the next head coach. 3 years under contract, he's like the 23rd highest paid quarterback in the league.
Right.
So it, like the salary structure even then allows for that supporting cast to be built up yet again.
Absolutely. I mean, the situation they have right now is fairly ideal. I mean, you don't want to be paying like Kirk Cousins type money. Right. You don't want to be paying Matt Stafford type money for Kirk Cousins or Matt Stafford.
Now that said, I don't know if there's AJ McCarron guy is in here. I'm sorry, he'll be gone next year. But the next quarterback they draft, which they might in the middle rounds this year, will be the first QB that has a contract beyond Andy's in 2020. So we are getting to that point of having to look to 2021.
And watch Andy Dalton's contract, by the way. It will not be small, wherever it is. If they decide to move on from here, somebody will take him, and someone will pay him a lot of money. The same way people lost their mind at Kirk Cousins getting the type of money he's getting, people are going to lose their mind the type of money Andy Dalton gets, because he's better than, like you said, at least half the league, if not more.
You know what they're
and that's valuable.
You know what they're going to lose their mind over? Mike Brown giving Andy Dalton $120 million.
Yeah, people won't like that.
No.
They should just announce that the same day they say Marvin's coming back.
Yes.
Marvin's coming back, and we've given Andy Dalton $120 million. Everyone go kill yourselves.
I'll present the big check. It'll be really great.
All right, Bobby.
Pull us out of that.
Lindsay's got a question.
But if I'm Andy Dalton, kind of going back to that contract, I do want a raise. I mean, you look around the NFL, he's still putting up the numbers. A lot of people talk about the offensive line and the struggles. He's still doing okay out there, and what he's done with Bill Lazor, I kind of want some more money. And I don't think he'll say that, but...
No, he's the nicest guy in the world.
He has someone else to say that for him.
Yeah.
No, he's 3 years out. So actually, Gino... Hey, big hand for Gino for talking to us this week and coming on the BBP.
Yeah, thanks, Gino, for coming here. Appreciate you answering all of our questions.
Gino's up next. So, I mean, the team does things down with a row of dominoes. But, no, you're right. I mean, you know, when you look at it, by the time he comes up for his money, I mean, he will be one of the lowest paid starting quarterbacks in football.
That will change. I mean, if this team is the one to pay him or whoever – He will make much more than he's making now. Like you said, he's 23rd. Yeah. I mean, he'll get
Turkey Bowl Osweiler makes way more money than Andy Dalton.
If Brock Osweiler gets 4 years, $72 million, it tells you all you need to know about what a guy like Andy Dalton, that for whatever you want to say, has taken five teams to the playoffs, and then they ripped his offensive line and all his weapons away, and suddenly he wasn't winning as much, and it's his fault, right? I'm not saying he's great, but let's be honest. He could proven that he can win games in this league if you surround him with the right guys. Do you got anything else?
I got a question.
Yeah.
All right.
Marvin Lewis, does he feel satisfaction by winning one playoff game? Is that the monkey's off his back? He can go off into the sunset?
Yes and no. Yes, because it's 0-7, which is an NFL record in the worst way. But no, in the sense that, I mean, he has a Super Bowl ring. I mean, he's done that.
As a coordinator,
it doesn't matter. But, like, he's still been there. So no, because, the goal is to win a Super Bowl. They are trying to win a Super Bowl, believe it or not, at Paul Brown Stadium. But yes, in the sense of, I mean, it is 0-7. So...
He would like to not hold the record for most games coached without a playoff win, I think.
Could you see a scenario where he wins the playoff game and then retires?
Like before the divisional round? I'm out! Going out on top, Costanza style. I love that idea. I love that
idea. Before they go to Pittsburgh for the divisional round?
We're playing Pittsburgh in the divisional round? It's your team, Paulie.
Yeah. I don't think he retires. I mean, I know he told Doc that he would retire, and then he's hated the fact that he told Doc that ever since. But he's wait, I said the thing? No.
Oh, I said that, didn't I? No, I didn't say that.
Yeah. I think he does. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he's working in 18, if it's not here. Worst case scenario, he's working for the league, like Tom Coughlin. He's been on the competition committee for forever.
Yeah, I could see a Coughlin-like exit. The league has so much respect for him. He's been so involved in it the entire time. I think he would easily shift into there and then try to find another landing spot somewhere. Right? Didn't we? GM of the Cleveland Browns with Hugh Jackson as his head coach.
Yeah.
When they fire everyone over there, they hire Marv to come in and just hang out over top of Hugh. Oh, that would be just so rich. That'd be so rich. What do you got? What we got?
I got a question. A lot of folks are saying our stadium looks generic compared to other stadiums. I think it's great what they're doing with the 50th anniversary team, but you look at the other stadiums, they got statues, plaques, banners, retired numbers. We have nothing here. I mean, I think would it be impossible to get a plaque with the top 50 players on it somewhere, or a statue of Anthony Munoz?
You would think you could get a statue of the best left tackle in the history of the NFL somewhere. We literally, before any of this stuff came up a couple years ago, did our Ring of Honor, and we had our guy Mike Nyergis, who does our graphics, put the guys' names on banners on the facade that's currently just gray concrete. And so when you hear then, we have no place to put that from ownership, we literally just created a graphic that shows you where you can put it. I mean, that is maddening. It's been maddening for fans. It's been maddening mostly for former players.
And
it really does. And this past year has meant a lot to a lot of those guys that have been able to come back. I think we go to every stadium on the road. We see it all. This is the worst game day atmosphere provided by a team that we see.
Right, which is sad to say. But, I mean, you know, I came from Chicago originally. The White Sox have a statue of Harold Baines.
You don't want that, though.
But I guess that's what I'm saying, though. But, like, it's that guy, like the Brewers, you know, I come from Wisconsin, Milwaukee, as you guys know. They have their Ring of Honor. Like, Greg Vaughn has a plaque. Like, is Greg Vaughn a Hall of Famer? No, but he was a fan favorite for, like, 9 years.
Yeah.
One of the reasons people went to ball games.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mike admits that he doesn't understand that. I do think his kids do. So I don't know if we'll see a statue necessarily, but I do think this 50th is more driven by Katie and
Troy.
Paul and Troy.
Yeah.
I think whenever that happens, and they kind of run the day-to-day and whatever, maybe you might see that.
And
it does matter.
And this has turned Mike a little bit. He's talked about how he's really enjoyed this more than he thought he would. And I think it's opened his eyes to how easy it would be and how much it kind of just creates some
goodwill
amongst everybody. So I think that the family below Mike viewed this as the perfect opportunity to start that ball rolling in the right direction. They've honestly wanted it to go for a while, and Mike's always had the stop sign on it. What do you think, Bobby?
What do you think?
I like the questions. I really like the questions.
I like the question. Anybody else have anything they want to ask?
Anybody else in here got a question?
Okay.
We got another question over here.
Okay, here we go.
For Paul, because I know you love this topic, the Jaguars.
Oh, God damn it.
That's so
jaggy. Why do you got to be like this?
Thank you so much.
Does Eli end up at the Jaguars next year?
And if he does, do I bet on
that's
them, right?
I was
is that
say,
where you're
that's
going
the
with this?
Follow up. You could ask that question. Here's the question.
Well, Tom Coughlin.
Here's the question. Yes and yes. And then they will win 4 games.
I have bet on them against my own will the last 2 years. I have not wanted to. I did it strictly for entertainment purposes of this podcast because people enjoy watching me suffer.
Yes.
And I knew what was going to happen. Then I have to still pay for the precinct, though, which is very unfortunate. So, yes, if they sign Eli Manning, I probably will bet on them to win more than, like, 9 games or whatever it's going to be. And I'll lose because he'll throw, like, 18 picks. They'll win 4 games, and I'll cry. Then I'll buy another steak Collinsworth for skinny. It'll be bad. And you know what that would be? That'd be so jaggy.
It would be so jaggy.
So jaggy. I knew they were going to be good, though. I just was I was a little early on the train of that. Thank you for bringing up my pain.
Thank you for bringing up my pain.
I appreciate that.
All right, question about the game for this week.
Yeah.
Yes.
If they're going to win this game, who's the player that makes the difference to win the game?
55. Vonta's perfect, I think. I'd like to say 14, but I just, you know, the Steelers have his number.
Yeah. I would agree with you. I would say dark horse to that. My number 2. Would be 22.
Yeah.
Would be William, your boy.
Oh,
William
you think
Jackson.
Red Jackson?
Yeah.
Yes. Your boy. I do think he proved it in the first Steelers game. He's up to this. Yeah. And I think he's the one guy that can really get the crucial pick to make a play in this game. I think he could be the guy. To me, it's going to be a turnover, in my opinion. Yeah. And I think that 55 has proven he can cause those. And I think William Jackson can be that guy. And then you start to be like, oh, the young future, right? You start to get into it. And I think they acknowledge that. And that, you know, Adams, an interesting thing sort of lost in the minutia of the Cleveland game. Adam Jones came back healthy last week, and he only played 37, I think, percent. William Jackson was up around 70. They've started that move, and I think they recognize.
And you might see Adam back there on a few more punt returns.
I would assume so, especially after what you saw against Cleveland, that they're kind of saving him for that. So that's what I would think. I would think 55, 22, and then the deep ball, like we talked about earlier. I mean, I think I wished it was 15, right?
Yeah.
But that's just poking at Bengals
fans.
You're just
poking John Ross. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think Brandon LaFell has hit some shots over the top, and maybe you're hoping for him to do something. Lindsay again?
Yeah. No. About 15. This is what's going to happen.
You're going to ask me a John Ross question?
I do have a John Ross question. I'm like a Twitter person right now.
Yeah.
They've been laying him under the radar. No tape on John Ross. They're going to bring him out against Pittsburgh.
No doubt. No. That's an optimistic take. That sounds like optimistic
cover
right there.
Super optimistic.
Yeah. Fresh legs. Fresh legs.
And to the Steelers, I'm actually going to go to the Steelers player who you really actually need to have a bad game. It's Le'Veon Bell. I mean, AB is really a non-factor for them if you look at what the Bengals are able to do in their secondary against
AB. Are we recording on that so we can play that back on Tuesday?
It's Le'Veon Bell.
He doesn't have bad games.
No, he doesn't. Against the Le'Veon Bell doesn't. Le'Veon Bell is what they can't stop. And honestly, who cares about AB? They don't even – that doesn't even a factor because they can take care of him. They'll just run the ball.
Yeah.
So if he has a bad game.
I agree. He has to have a bad game. If he has a good game, it's over.
But
I mean, they have
possible.
To contain him.
He averages like 130 yards a game against
Sure, it's possible. They
a fumble.
The last few weeks, they have gotten pass happy and all excited about scoring 71 points. I could see Tomlin has botched games plenty of times. Come out there thinking, this is who we are now. Throw it 40 sometimes. Forget Le'Veon Bell a little bit. And maybe they get a couple of picks. And I could see that more than the Bengals stopping him. I could see Pittsburgh forgetting
stopping
about him a little bit.
Them stopping him.
Well, yeah, people forget. Tomlin is not the greatest in-game coach. The Bengals' wins they've had against the Steelers, usually Tomlin has made some really boneheaded calls to supply it.
It's only been two at Paul Brown Stadium.
At Paul Brown Stadium.
What's your thoughts on Mixon? You think he can make a difference? Is he angry about what was said about him?
Nah.
I don't think he's angry. We talked to him about this week. He's angry about it. I really don't.
I don't think he understood it.
No.
He didn't understand why he'd be called out for imitating a player that he liked.
That he liked. He admitted this week. He said, I admire Le'Veon Bell, which is why I was doing it. So when he said he thought I was stupid for doing it, I stopped doing it.
Right.
And he that was why he did a lot of this stuff. That's why he runs a lot of the way he does. He does sort of imitate him because he looks up to him. But people forget this a lot of times because, oh, Joe Mixon, he's good. He is very much a kid.
Yeah.
He's like very much a young kid who a lot of this stuff just sort of flies over his head. And he's not in a bad way. I just mean he just doesn't really let that stuff – it all sort of floats off for back. Like it's like you did for anybody when they were 21 years old. Like whatever, I don't know. I'm going to go carry the ball and try to score a touchdown so I can do my dance.
Right.
So I can literally get my Madden rating up.
Right.
He went on a whole spiel this week about the reason he's starting to run more violently is because he wants to get his Madden rating up. He was mad that it was 79, and he hoped – the first thing he said was he hoped the Madden people saw it. He needs to be up around 87 or so. So he wanted to make some real splash finishes where he plants people in the ground so that the Madden people see it. This is what we're dealing with. So, like, to think that he's into some big picture stuff is
so
just not
people that would think about the past and all the bad things that happened.
No, he is.
Maybe he wants a Madden rating at 87.
A Madden rating that separates this Sunday from all the Sundays before.
Monday Night Football is a Madden game.
It is a Madden
game. It's a huge – he did say he runs for 350 yards a game with himself, which I questioned.
But he also
says level? Did you ask him what level he's playing on?
I said, did you build up your character? You know, you can go in and like, oh, look me, I'm super strong, like a kangaroo or something, right?
Yeah.
No. He says he doesn't do that, but he has to be handing it to himself every play and playing like 35-minute quarters.
Here's why you can't really take him – because he says he throws deep balls at John Ross. So we definitely know it's a video game. It's not real.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, you can't throw John Ross. He doesn't play. He's not allowed.
Dude, what do you guys think about Madden? I, big Madden fan. Played for a long time until my wife banned me.
hey, where are
I think that a good thing that should be incorporated into Madden is maybe they get the beat writers from every city and put your ratings into the game to give you the understanding of what a normal person.
I've said that we should be in the game. Like, you should be able to cut away to us tapping on deadline. Like, I feel like we should be in the game. I want
to
have.
It would
like
be a lot of cutaways to you looking real sad.
No,
about
yeah.
just like
bad deadlines, bad deadlines, and like just screwing
Gus Bradley getting
up.
Fired while you're tapping.
Yeah, that was bad. Yeah. The worst was the Brandon McManus shank in 2015 Denver. Yeah. In Denver. That was the worst one that made me almost like break down in the press box.
Yeah.
Because we were going to blow deadline unless we were just counting on him making it. So I write up the whole Bengals sad sob story, and then he shanks it. I just went into a fetal tuck. I didn't know what to do. Madden rating. We should be in Madden.
Nah, I was a 2K guy.
I played 2K.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I think it would put into better perspective how good of athletes
they are. Tecmo Bowl, there we go.
Oh, yeah, I still have the 8-bit.
Yeah, obviously.
And original Tecmo Bowl.
Obviously. I said the Bengals should go – with this offensive line, I thought the Tecmo Bowl offense would be a good idea. When you drop back 55 yards and you can still throw it into the end zone, to me that was the play. Yeah. That's what they should have done. The do-do-do-do-do-do, and you just keep going back, and then you just launch it all the way, and like – Jerry Rice always catches it.
Yeah.
And that was the play for me. We're getting close to an hour. Do you have any official optimistic takes that you want on the record, or have you felt like you've pretty much put yourself out there at this point?
I feel like we had a lot of good questions coming in. A lot of good questions.
Hey, thank you to everybody for coming out here tonight. Yeah. I appreciate
thank you.
You coming out.
Thank you.
Do we need to give our official predictions? I think we kind of did.
Yeah, real quick. I'm going 28-14. Steelers. I do think it's closer than that until the end, and then you kind of get that last sort of touchdown when things kind of
I have 27-21. I think it'll be close, but I think the Steelers win. Feels like one of those late drives like we've seen in recent weeks. The Bengals have let up these late drives to score too much, and that's been a problem. Yeah. Doc, do you really want to – you couldn't just go the whole show with keeping your mouth shut. You've got
to
say something.
This has nothing to do with the contest at hand.
Okay.
I just want to say that Bobby assured me that if the Bengals win this game, if you come back next week, the beer is free.
Wow. Is this true? Is this true?
Ah, jeez.
Bobby, you're on the spot.
You know what? Next Thursday, if the Bengals win against the Steelers, Doc, if you will be behind the bar serving drinks, the drinks will be free at 50.
Wow. I'll say
it. Oh, there you go.
We will come back.
Yeah.
We will come back on Thursday and we'll invite all of our friends to come drink free beer with Doc serving it on Thursday at the Bengals beat the Steelers. Are you okay with that?
I'm as long as Doc is behind that bar serving.
There we go.
Yes.
All right.
This is the perfect. There it is. It's been said. For those of you listening at home that stuck around an hour and two minutes into this podcast, you just got a real damn treat.
Exactly.
Got a real damn treat. So, okay, if the Bengals win, that's it. We're going to be back here next Thursday doing another live BBP, and everyone's going to be real hammered, I'm pretty sure, including this guy right here. So let's wrap it up. Yeah. Hey, thanks, everybody, again for coming out tonight.
You.
Coming
out.
To have you at our first
Bobby, thank you very much.
Maybe we'll be back next week and all drinking for free. So have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you later.